You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And of course, if you want to call in your question today, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. We'll start taking your calls in just a few moments. Before we do that, I want to draw your attention to a communication that I have written to our listeners and our supporters around the world. And it is unlike any communication that I have written thus far. And I want to take just a few moments to share it with you today on air. My purpose is to give a crystal clear understanding of where you and I are in the ministry that we dearly love. Truthfully, we're facing a monumental crisis. And before I address the consequences of this crisis, I want to first underscore the consequences of ideas. I've mentioned this before, but back in October 1917, an event took place that bears repeating. It was the Russian Revolution, led by a revolutionary named Vladimir Lenin, who campaigned on the promise of change, and who led his Bolshevik party to victory on that promise. He convinced the world in which he lived that redistribution of wealth would draw heaven down to earth. And as such, Bolshevik bureaucrats in Moscow began printing money. They seized church assets. They confiscated private property. They nationalized Russian banks and factories and farms and provided a system of socialized medicine. Indeed, in 1918, Lenin introduced a cradle-to-grave healthcare system that utterly bankrupted the Soviet economy. You would think that the utter failure and devastation that ensued in the wake of Lenin's failed socialist experiment would forever preclude any other government from following the same foolhardy footprint. Unfortunately, it hasn't. In October of 1949, Mao Zedong established the People's Republic of China, and he began a similar socialist experiment. It was called the Great Leap Forward. And it devastated the Chinese economy, and it ultimately led to the starvation and killing of some 50 million Chinese citizens. The 1984 movie release of The Killing Fields forever memorialized the attempt on the part of Pol Pot and his Khmer Rouge to create the ultimate brotherhood of man. The result was measured in economic devastation and millions of deaths. My friend Dr. Jay Richards, who's been on this broadcast a number of times, saw an ultimate irony in the movie when Dith Pran escapes the Cambodian killing fields and finds rescue in a Thai Red Cross station as the lyrics of John Lennon's Imagine waft soothingly through the air. Lenin's failed socialist experiment, forever immortalized in song. Lenin's anthem describes a sort of godless kingdom of God, and we're asked to imagine a future brotherhood of man where all the people live life in peace, a world with no possessions, where all the people share all the world. Never has an idea had such catastrophic consequences. Perhaps an even greater horror in the present is that those who are blithely unaware of history may well be resigned to reliving its horrors. Because even now, as China is rapidly moving away from socialist economies, Western economies are bent on an opposite persuasion. Listen closely to the lyrics of the present political power brokers, and you will hear both the legislation of Vladimir Lenin and the lyrics of John Lennon as they waft soothingly through the air. All that brings me to the urgency of the crisis that we're facing today at the Christian Research Institute. While false prophets cry peace and safety, even promising that the greatest of all revivals is right around the corner, they say it's going to be both spiritual and economic. And while political pundits cry, imagine there's no heaven, as they craft a godless utopia on earth, you and I have been faithfully exposing darkness to light. Socialism in the century past led to economic and spiritual chaos. We know only in principle what will happen in our future as the specter of socialism continues to haunt our own generation. Of one thing we can be absolutely certain, however, the present economic and social climate makes this the best of times and the worst of times for ministry. On the one hand, the ministry we share is impacting lives worldwide in an ever more fruitful fashion. All you have to do is listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast to hear the day-by-day, real-time testimonies of how our ministry is revolutionizing lives. Likewise, when I travel, I hear a consistent refrain, please don't ever stop doing what you're doing. Your broadcast is a lifeline to me in the midst of the swirling waves. On the other hand, at this very moment, we face the most daunting financial challenge of my presidency. In a typical year, the cost of doing ministry from January through May exceeds ministry revenues. In June, income not only meets monthly expenditures, but excess revenue at the end of our fiscal year, which is June 30th, allows us to catch up again. This June past, however, was anything but typical. And as a result, I am faced with some excruciatingly difficult decisions. You see, radio expenses comprise the majority of our budget, and thus, I'm confronted with the threat of losing stations that carry the broadcast. And this is a burden I carry at all times, in which I present afresh before our Lord Jesus daily. Indeed, it's a burden I just can't carry alone. So here's what I'm asking you to do. If you can make a financial investment in the ministry today, whether you send $25 or $250 or $2,500 or $25,000, of course, all of those are just suggestions. A multitude of God's people standing together will surely meet the need. If you can't give, well, please know that you will be faithfully prayed for, just as we are asking you to faithfully and humbly intercede for our ministry through prayer. If you can give, please go to the website right now at www.equip.org, because there you can provide immediate relief online in a safe, secure fashion. Or simply send your gift to Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. As you can tell from what I've just shared, I'm well aware of the economic hardship resulting from the encroaching socialism of our times. Every day someone says to me, last month I had $1,000 to give, this month I have $500 or $250 or $100. Or last month I had $50 and this month $25. As such, please know that while I don't always know the specific circumstances, I and our staff are faithfully upholding you in prayer as well. We know that God is on the throne, that He is sovereign, and we ask Him to work through God's people. And we recognize that we never learn one half so much, as Spurgeon well said, as we do in the crucible of pain. And so we thank the Lord for every opportunity, every testimony, every witness, every answer. We thank God for the opportunity and the platform He continues to give us to reach a lost and searching world, to rescue people from the kingdom of the cults and the world of the occult, to change lives for time and for eternity. Chuck in Missouri just sent me a comment. He says, wow, where should I start? Hank and the Christian Research Institute truly opened my eyes to the real Christ. Growing up Catholic, I was taught traditions and rituals that contradict Scripture. Hank's teachings brought these contradictions to light. Thanks to Hank, I was saved, and now I'm part of a well-balanced Christian church. Or Charles, who writes, CRI impacted my life when I was one of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Hank has reinforced my Christian beliefs after becoming a Christian. And the testimonies go on and on. I'll read one more. Burnell in New Jersey says, I happened to come across Hank's radio broadcast some years ago while I was knee-deep in the Word of Faith movement. I didn't know how to read the Bible properly. Hank pointed out the problems with what I was believing. I listened to the broadcast every chance I got. And to my surprise, I believed what Hank said because it was backed up by Scripture and by reason. The Christian Research Institute has helped me to escape the land of make-believe Christianity. And so we find people escaping the kingdom of the cults, the world of the occult, coming to a true valuation of things, being equipped to be reproducing disciple-makers. Disciple-makers that are changing the world one person at a time. And that's the mission of the Christian Research Institute. We've been doing it for 50 years, and this ministry continues to bear abundant, abiding fruit. And we're asking you to be a co-laborer in Christ at this crucial time in history, both of our nation, the world, and the ministry, to stand with us prayerfully and financially. And again, you can give in a safe, secure way on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. On the other side of the break, we're going to get to what we always do each and every day right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that is answer your questions, giving a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. The Christian faith is not blind. It's not a leap of credulity into a dark chasm, but it is faith founded in a refutable fact. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. We'll be right back with your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig, nationally simulcast teen apologetics conference on Saturday, August 8th, to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of. Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The
Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers.
Hello, I'm Ted Baer, publisher of Movie Guide, chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission, here to endorse Hank Hanegraaff and the Bible Answer Man. This is a cutting-edge, important ministry that Hank is doing. It's a ministry that we need more than ever as people start to lose their theological moorings, as they start to forget about the good news of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all of its ramifications. Thank you, Hank, and thank you, Bible Answer Man, all of the team, for doing a great job of helping people to be set free from the confusions of our age.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we have a lot of you hanging on, a lot of people calling 888 to ask Hank, and we'll start answering the questions right now. First up is Kevin. He's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just have a quick question here. You talk about how faith and truth are kind of synonymous the way you speak, but truth requires proof, and faith is just a belief. How can you justify that Christianity is indeed the correct religion? And I'll listen to your answer off air.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kevin. And, you know, of course, when we talk about faith, we're talking about faith in evidence. In other words, not a blind leap into a chasm of credulity, but faith founded on a reputable fact. So the first thing we start with in the historic Christian faith is looking at why do we believe that there's a God? Is that a blind faith? No, it's a faith in evidence. We know that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So you can't have a universe that has no creator. It is, I suppose, something that would stretch credulity beyond the breaking point to suppose that nothing creates everything. So there are evidences for believing that the universe was created as an effect by a cause that's greater than itself. And as you look at the universe, there are biblical texts that underscore the reality that the heavens themselves declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. The universe begs us to believe that there's a creator. You can't look at the complexity of the universe in which we live and say time and chance accounted for that any more than you would look at a basketball and say it just happened. Wind and water came together with some materials, and here we have a basketball. But in the Christian faith, we not only have the evidence of creation around us, but God has placed a knowledge of himself upon the very tablet of our heart. In other words, God's written a knowledge about himself on the very canvas of our consciousness. And so we know innately, intuitively, that there's a God. But the God that we know about is not a mysterious God hiding somewhere. In Christian faith, the God who created the universe also invaded time and space. And we can build a cumulative case for that, particularly when we look at the resurrection of the God who spoke and the universe left into existence. We can build a cumulative case that Jesus Christ demonstrates that he is God through the immutable fact of resurrection. And then we can also build a strong case, and again, not just blind faith, but faith in evidence, for the notion that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. So again, this is evidence by which we believe. There are truths and there are myths. One of the great truths of the Christian faith is that Christ rose from the dead. One of the great truths of the Christian faith is that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. But again, those truths are not believed by simple faith without evidence, but by simple faith in evidence. Now, there are a lot of things that we continue to have faith for. But God has revealed enough about Himself to us that we can trust Him no matter what happens in this world. And I suppose the classic case of that is in the oldest book of the Bible, which is the book of Job, where Job says, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." Why does he say that? Because God had revealed enough about Himself in creation, in conscience, and ultimately in His revelation of Himself to Job, that Job could trust Him no matter what happened in his life. And we have that same assurance. I mean, the very thing that took Christianity from a small localized region in the Middle East and spread it around the world was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The believers who testified to the point of death did so because they had seen the resurrected Christ. And therefore, from their perspective, they could go to their graves with a smile on their lips and a song in their heart because they had seen the resurrected Christ and they knew beyond the peradventure of a doubt that they too would rise like their master, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And by the way, if this was a mere story that they were perpetuating or concocting, when the Roman sword was unfurled, they would quickly say, "I was just kidding." But they didn't. And they turned an empire upside down. And again, they did this because of faith in evidence, not blind faith. I've written about this in various places, including the Apocalypse Code, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. But we, as Christians, say, as I said in the first section, or I closed the first section with a song that we sing, "How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord, is Laid for Your Faith in His Excellent Word." So ultimately, we find in Scripture compelling evidence that it is the Word of God and not just the ruminations of human beings. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Joseph. He's listening in Tustin, California on KKLA. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Hank, how's it going? I just wanted to start by saying that I wasn't always able to give much to CRI, and even if it was like $10, I'd say things like, "Oh, well, they won't miss $10. That's not much." But I think if everyone does that, if 20 people do that, you know, CRI missed out on $200. And I just encourage everyone to get a complete copy of the Bible Answer Book. It comes in so handy, and I carry it around in my book bag all the time, and it never ceases to amaze me how often I get questions from people who get help from the book. And I thank you so much for that, and encourage our brothers and sisters to support you and to get that.
Thanks for encouraging me too, Joseph.
I had a couple questions. I wanted to know what your take was on, and if you've ever heard or even spent any time on the Illuminati theories and things like that, and the Luciferians and the Freemasonry and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, one of the things we've done at the Christian Research Institute is dealt with conspiracy theories in general. And you find out after a period of time, and I was just talking to my son John about this, because there's a conspiracy theory going around on the web that the Manhattan Massacre, you know, and the destruction of the Twin Towers was an inside job. But after you have spent some time with conspiracy theories, you finally say, I've looked closely at 15 conspiracy theories. Now I know how they're concocted, how they use unfalsifiable evidence, and therefore you're led down this pipe dream and into a quagmire, quite frankly. I don't have to look at the 16th conspiracy theory, but the Illuminati, which literally means enlightened ones, it's applied to many different groups for centuries. It's supposedly a secret worldwide conspiracy. It involves financial institutions and a plot to take over the world, but there's no beef. Remember that, I think it was a Wendy's commercial, where's the beef? There's just no beef for the conspiracy theory. And I do deal with some of these conspiracy theories in a book that I wrote called The Covering.
Okay, I have another question. I'm going to get that, and I have another question. I had an idea, and I just wanted to run it past you because I trust your advice, and I wanted to know if you think this would be okay to do. I wanted to print out tickets to heaven, and it's going to say the ticket to heaven, and then it's going to say Jesus, and on the back I was going to put verses showing why he says he's God and why he is the way to heaven. Do you think that that would be appropriate to do?
You know, the first question I'd ask you is the Lord leading you to do it? And if you feel that the Lord is leading you to do it and you can use it as a springboard or an opportunity to reach people as opposed to repel people, yeah, I would do it.
Okay, great. I think so. I think it's a quick and easy look at something as opposed to a tracker or something that would require people to you know, go from their busy lives and look into their eternal lives, so... I think so. Well, thank you, Hank, so much. You're always a blessing.
Hey, Joseph, thank you for being a blessing to me as well. And, you know, God uses all of us in individual ways. I don't have Joseph's talents, and he doesn't have mine. And I'm not going to be responsible for Joseph's talents. He's not going to be responsible for mine. But I think what's important, and I sense this in Joseph, is that he wants his life to count. He wants to be a witness. And so he wants to create some kind of a springboard or an opportunity for communicating the very truth that has revolutionized his life. And what, quite frankly, amazes me about those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips is that they're oftentimes closet Christians. That doesn't make any sense to me. If we've received the greatest gift that one could ever receive, the gift of everlasting life, a free gift, why in the world would we not want to share that gift with others? And that's the purpose of this ministry. That's why we call the website equip.org. The real problem isn't evangelism, it is equipping for evangelism, which is to say, if you are prepared or equipped, you will see that the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And you will recognize that you can make a difference. 12 disciples, scared and scattered and one a devil, ended up turning an empire upside down. If they could do it, we can do it. But what we have to do is determined not to be secret agents that never blow their cover before the unregenerate world, but rather ambassadors for Christ, as we are called to be in Scripture. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions.
Make no mistake, truth is under siege in the early 21st century. Christianity and the Bible are under attack like never before. A regular, constant, sustained attack on essential Christian doctrines like the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the reliability of the Bible, and the atoning death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. From scholars like Bart Ehrman and magazines like Newsweek. Do you have the answers you need? Order Hank Hanegraaff's brand new Truth Under Siege audio CD, and you'll be equipped to respond when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank will be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity, emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order the compelling The Case for Faith DVD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. If you appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of the Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
Hank, my name is Charles, and I can't even begin to tell you what your program and what your ministry has done for my Christian walk. There are so many aberrations and false doctrines out there. And I am most grateful, I think, for your courage to be willing to not deal with generalities, but to be specific and name specific ministries and actually audio clips from specific preachers. And you're willing to call it what it is and be willing to take the heat for it. And I know that over the years you have. All I can say is thank you so much and God bless you.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Our outreach on this radio station is made possible through the financial donations and prayerful support of listeners like you. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. To get in touch with the Christian Research Institute, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. We're also online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man and our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll get right back to our callers. Next up, James, listening on KFAX in Hayward, California. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a situation, I'll try to be quick with it, but I would love to hear your thoughts on the situation. We have a lot of young people out here in the Northern California area who are doing Bible studies and having Jesus time gatherings and things, and they seem to be moving away from the scripture, moving away from doctrine, and moving away from the church. And when questioned about this situation, I hear things like this: well, we learn doctrine and scripture by serving others and serving the world and serving the poor, and we don't need to spend time dredging through the text of scripture. And so I just sort of like your thoughts on that and the answer, of why the necessity of the text versus the internal or experiential revelation.
Yeah, good question, James. And I think one of the things we can do is learn a lesson from the scriptures themselves. If you look at the book of Ephesians, for example, which has been, I think, aptly called the divinest composition of mankind. Obviously, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But there you have the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who neatly divides Ephesians, his letter to the Ephesians, into six chapters. The first three deal with doctrine. The last three deal with the application of that doctrine in our lives. A doctrine is extraordinarily important. It's about not just orthopraxy or how we live. It's about orthodoxy. I mean, you can go to Islam and get orthopraxy, but it's about how you live, and that is determined by a set of standards. That right. set of standards ultimately is the essentials of the Christian faith. That is what forms the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Right. So, what is doctrine? We can talk about it in a general sense or a very specific sense. Well, we would say that when you look at doctrine, when you look at the main and plain things, you start with the nature of God. We could talk about the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the mother of all questions was, "Who do you say that I am?" And that determines whether you're going to believe that Jesus was just a good teacher, whether Jesus was an avatar or a messenger, whether Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer, whether Jesus was divine, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. That makes right. a lot of difference, because if Jesus is God, then I'm going to pay attention to what he has to say. And what he has to say is not, let's just do good deeds with other people and let's sing Kumbaya and love one another. No, he says that people need to know about him. They need to know that they're hopelessly lost and mired in sin, and that unless they repent of their sin, they're going to spend an eternity separated from him. That's doctrine. And that doctrine matters. That's the essence of the gospel. It matters. So you can take care of people physically, and that's important, but you should never see it in isolation. It should become the means by which you earn the right to share the gospel with them as well. Or what is essential Christian doctrine? What are the doctrines that the martyrs bled and died for? If you went to first century Rome, and you could go back in a time machine to the epicenter of a Caesar cult, if you said Christ is Lord, you would die. And the Christians died because they believed in doctrine. Today we think doctrine's a dirty word. We don't bother with doctrine, and therefore we don't know what it is we believe and why we believe it. We don't even know who we believe, and therefore we have completely denuded the Christian faith from all of its essential value, the very thing that transforms lives. And what you're talking about, I just read an article in USA Today about this. I think it was called Evangelism 2.0. And that article pointed out that today's evangelists are taking a turn to the very course that you described in the prologue to your question.
Right.
And it's dangerous.
Yep, and I see it with the younger generations as really disheartening, because they have such zeal and passion. And when you take that passion and you remove truth, you've got a dangerous recipe for disaster. disaster.
Sure. And, so and you can look at the Mormons. You can say they've got passion, but do they have truth?
Right. That's right. And
are they believing in the genuine Jesus Christ and a gospel that can truly save them? And what do they believe about the afterlife?
Right.
This is all part of doctrine. By the way, in the this is your question is really appropriate because this is the very reason that I put together this little flip chart. It's called Essential Christian Doctrine, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. I take the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and I actually codify them around the word doctrine so that you can remember them. And then I not only give you what the doctrines are that comprise the main and plain things of Scripture, but how you can remember them and how you can know that what you have given your life to is substantive. Going back to the first illustration, the deity of Jesus Christ. We can say that as a Christian we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, but the attendant question is, why do we say that? Well, we say that because Jesus Christ claimed that he was God. The Bible claims that he is God. His credentials demonstrate that he is God. So I not only have the doctrine of the deity of Christ, but I have in bullet points why we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ and why it's so significant. I think I just lost James. But we have Essential Christian Doctrine, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. We have them in this flip chart form. It's 4x6. It's laminated. It's available for your gift to the ministry. If you make a gift to the ministry, I'll send this out to you today. It's one of these resources that I developed because I believed in it, and it has become a phenomenon at the Christian Research Institute. It just pours out of the doors here every single day, and we want you to have one of them as well because we want you to have something that communicates in a user-friendly fashion what you have given your life to. Again, Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. You can order it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Barbara. She's in San Francisco, California, listening on KFAX. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm fine. I'm very happy to talk with you. This is my first time also. I have a small dilemma in my family.
Yeah.
That I need help to be guided towards where to go for a source.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be careful about how I approach these issues. Two of the people in my family would be my mother and then my granddaughter, who's 27. Mother's 82. And at a young age, I was introduced to religion and fell by the wayside as I grew. And then I've come back as I've gotten older. And I didn't raise my daughter in church, and she didn't raise her daughter in church. But recently, I've had a conversation with my granddaughter, and I'm trying to introduce her to Christ. And my dilemma is I don't want to overwhelm her. But she's very intelligent. She has been through college, so she's into studying, and she's open right now. Mother is 82, and she is in the Worldwide Church of God, and that's what confuses my granddaughter, because some of the opinions my mother has, we can't seem to straighten out what her logic is. She came in before Armstrong died, and I know that they're making a big change in that church, but my mother still seems to be hung up in the old ways,
mm-hmm.
but she has a tendency to not forgive, and I know that there's a scripture somewhere that I can get started to discuss this with her. My son-in-law is her target right now, currently. Anything he says, now she's down to not speaking to him and holding a grudge. So I wanted to address this in love, and as you said, and love and kindness.
Yes.
I don't know where to go with these two issues I have.
Well, you know, I think the first thing when you're talking about forgiveness that you want to go to is the Sermon on the Mount and the prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, which includes the words, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now,
okay.
Forgiveness is often misunderstood. Forgiveness is always a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
because forgiveness needs to lead to reconciliation. For forgiveness to be genuine and meaningful, there has to be someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. When that happens, reconciliation can take place, and out of reconciliation comes the restoration of relationship or fellowship. And this is the same thing that happens between a person and their God. God objectively offers us forgiveness, but for that forgiveness to be realized, we have to want forgiveness, and therefore we have to realize that we are a sinner, that we have violated God's holiness. We need to be willing to repent of that sin and then receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. And when we do that, reconciliation between a human being and God takes place. The standard for forgiveness between human beings is much the same. And so you have to be willing to forgive family members, and they have to want that forgiveness for reconciliation to take place. Now, with respect to Armstrongism and people that are still caught up in that, we've written about that in various sources. In fact, I wrote the foreword to Joseph DeCotch Jr.'s book, Transformed by Truth. He is the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, which has moved away from Armstrong's teachings, and actually demonstrated in very compelling fashion exactly why they moved away from these cultic doctrines to truth in Jesus Christ. So they're no longer bound by legalistic prescriptions, but they have found freedom in Jesus Christ. If you hang on, we'll pass along that information to you. I wish I could have an hour conversation with you, but I can't. We're out of time. I'm going to stay right here in studio for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So many people already hanging on. If you want to get your question answered in the next hour, here is the number to dial right now. 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. So long for now.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can connect with all these new media. That's www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on The Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible.
Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.